Okay, thank you for being here and being a part of this study tonight. I hope this will be a beneficial study for us. When we decided we needed to make some changes on Monday, tried to figure out what would be a good short course to do, and the number of topics. That's my hardest thing, is coming up with a topic. If you just give me a topic, we can run with it. But choosing a topic is tough sometimes. But I thought this would be helpful for us. You may not be aware of this. A lot of you are. July of 2023, so almost 2 years ago. July of 2023, Florida did away with the law that required having a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Some of you may have known that, may have not have known that. So you don't have to have a permit now to carry a concealed weapon, except some of you have been carrying a concealed weapon without a permit for a long time. It's right there inside your mouth. Sometimes it's not so concealed. Sometimes it lets itself be known that it's there. And you haven't had a permit for that since the beginning. But you've got a concealed weapon that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Is your concealed weapon, is that pretty powerful? Is there a lot that that your tongue can do? Does it have great potential for good? Does it have great potential for good? Does it have great potential for not so good? Yeah, it's got good potential for that too. But so you've got this weapon with you 24/7, right? You don't lock it away in a safe at night. It's with you all the time. Do you remember why it was that that our nation invaded Iraq back in the 90s? What did we think was there? WMDs, right? Weapons of mass destruction. Well, guess what you've got? You've got one of those weapons of mass destruction, potentially, right? Potentially. But I want to share just a couple, and I'm going to throw a lot of verses up here tonight, probably more than I normally would put them on the screen, but it's just for rapid succession in looking at some things. But does the Bible talk about our tongue? We're using the word weapon here, concealed weapon, or WMD. Does the Bible talk about our tongue as a weapon? Okay, let's throw some verses at you here. Proverbs 12, 18. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Is that a weapon? You know anybody who's, don't look, don't point. You can look in a mirror if you need to. You know anybody that's like that? Proverbs 25:18. A man who bears who fault witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. You lie about your neighbor, there's a description of you. Psalm 52 and verse 2, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalm 57 and verse 4, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Psalm 64, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. How many times does it say that our tongues are like a sword? Jeremiah 9 and verse 3 does it again. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. The Bible has a... Why does the Bible use that kind of terminology?
It needs to be something under control.
Okay. All right, so it's definitely something we need to have under control. Why does the Bible talk about your tongue like it's a sword, like it's an arrow, like it's a bow?
Words can hurt.
Words can hurt. I thought that little rhyme you used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but, right? Words will never hurt me. I mean, did you ever say that in school? Is that true? Words will never hurt me? You ever been hurt by words? Great. So why are we teaching that little rhyme to our kids? Because words hurt. But let me ask you this. Do our words have the potential for good? Think about just a few, and these are just from, I'm limiting these to Proverbs, all right? Proverbs 12, verse 18, the rest of that verse, the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 10 and verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Do you like silver? Proverbs 13, verse 17, a faithful ambassador, somebody who tells the truth, brings health. Proverbs 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Proverbs 15, 23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So the Bible says, here's your words, and sometimes they can be like a sword. What does that tell you? I need to monitor that. But he says, here's your words, and sometimes they can promote health. We just had a family prayer. How many prayer requests do we have turned in tonight? Did you count? How many different things are we praying about? We're praying about all sorts of physical things going on. What if your words could bring health? Would you be interested in that? We're interested in health. What does it mean that, words promote health? Say again. Okay. So I need to watch what I say. And what does that mean? My words promote health. They can be uplifting. All right, we're going to talk about that tonight. What does that mean? Your words promote health. What does that mean? Stress is a killer. Okay. So if words can create stress, can words create the opposite of stress? Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Say again. Right. The word that's fitly spoken. Freddie, what'd you say? Okay. So the title of this lesson, The Power of the Tongue, it comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Here's the opposites. Here's the contrast. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? How powerful is your tongue? Well, there's death in it, and there's life in it. Can you get any polar opposite than death and life? You're not going to get much different than that. And God says, that's in the power of your tongue. That's pretty cool. But what does that mean? I need to learn to control it so that my words lend towards the health side, towards the life side. Now, here's the challenge. You hear this topic and say, oh, we're going to talk about the power of the tongue. We could spend all 4 weeks looking at the negative of that. Now, there's enough in the Bible. We could spend more than 4 weeks talking. So we could spend all 4 weeks talking about the negative of our tongues. And maybe we need to do that. But I don't want to do that. Saying here's all the negative. Now, we're going to get to some of those in later classes. But tonight, I wanted to start on the positive side. Start on what's the good that we can do with our tongue? What does it mean that we can promote health? What does it mean that my tongue has the power of life in it? So what can I do? Let's talk about three things tonight when we think about the power of our tongue for good. And we could almost spend the whole time right here, and if I'm not careful, we will spend the whole time right here. Anything better that we could do with our tongue than to praise God with it? I mean, who made our tongue? Okay. So anything better that we could do, any better way that we could spend our time than to be praising our God? The word praise or some form of it is in the Bible 308 times, at least New King James Version, 308 times. So think about that number. You got 66 books, 308 times you got some form of the word praise. 187 of them are in one book. So 187 out of a little over 300 are in one. Which book do you think that would be? Of all the 66, where do you think 187 out of 300 praises are going to be? Good guess. It's the biggest book, right? So it's a good, easy target. But you've read Psalms enough. It's full of praise. What was the book of Psalms? To the Jews, what was the book of Psalms? It was their songs. It was their song book. It wasn't neat and pretty like this, and it didn't have, it didn't have shape notes in it, but it was their song book. And so they would sing those, and we sing some of those songs too, don't we? But it was their song. So the Psalms were their songs designed for them to praise God. What does it mean to praise God? What's involved in praising God? What are we doing when we praise God? We're bragging on Him. We're bragging on Him. What are we doing? We're telling Him how good He is. Do we need to do that? Here's what some skeptic would say. Yeah, that's your God. He's got to hear you bragging on Him. He's got to hear you. He just demands your praise because He can't be complete unless He's got your praise. Is that true? Does our God need our praise? He doesn't need it. He wants it. Does He deserve it? Oh, yeah. One of the Psalms we sing, Psalm 18 and verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, finish it, who is worthy to be praised. Is He worthy to be praised? Yeah. And that's why I call upon Him, is because He's worthy to be praised. But let me ask you a question. When we praise God, this is a multiple choice. You like multiple choice questions? I mean, at least you know options, right? It's not fill in the blank. It's multiple choice. And this multiple choice only has two options for you, okay? So it's A or B. When we praise God, who needs it more, God or us? We need it. Does God need it? Is God somehow empty? Is God somehow lacking when He doesn't receive our praise? No. Now, He's called upon us to give it to Him. But guess who needs to give the praise? But when I praise God, does that affect me? I would... And most of you are a whole lot better at this than I have been. But I would encourage you when we sing to really think about the words. I know we get zoned in on how we sound, or maybe we sing a new song and I don't know the song as well, so I'm trying to catch the tune and how does this go and where do I come in? I would urge you to think about the words. There's some songs that when I really start thinking about the words, I have a hard time singing. It just cuts sometimes. I don't remember what song it was on Sunday. But we were singing it and I started thinking about my girls and I could hardly finish the song. It's really easy just to kind of sing along with everybody else and not really praise God as we're singing. But I want us to think about when we praise God. Obviously, what I've been talking about for the last few minutes is praising God in our worship assemblies. Now, that's when we praise God, right? Is when we come together to worship. So here's two passages that we are familiar with from the New Testament, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, which are two texts that tell us specifically that God authorizes singing in our worship. And when God authorizes something, He, by that authorization, will automatically exclude anything else that He does not authorize there. He authorizes unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. So can we have donuts and coffee because He doesn't say not to give it to Him? That's not even the focus of this class, but We don't have authority for donuts and coffee. He never said anything about it, but He said unleavened bread, fruit of the vine. We're not authorized for any other worship but to sing. Now, we are to sing. The last words of the verse, Colossians 3:16, to the Lord. This is Ephesians 5:19, finishes right before this comma. This starts verse 20 with the word giving. Last three words of verse 19, to the Lord. So our singing, first of all, is to the Lord. But who else is involved in our singing? First part of the verse. We're speaking to one another. So this is a corporate activity where we're all involved in the singing. And the reciprocal pronoun means we're speaking, we're singing to one another. We're all involved in the singing. We're all singing to the Lord, but at the same time, we're singing to each other. We are encouraging each other. We're building each other up. And we're doing so with grace, the New King James says in Colossians 3:16. New American Standard says, we're singing with thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. So are you only singing with thankfulness when the song says that we're thankful? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Oh, I can be thankful. I'm singing with thankfulness. I'm singing with grace. I'm singing with praise all the way through. But let me give you some verses that maybe we're not as familiar with. And I know you are familiar, but probably not as familiar as these others. Hebrews 2 and verse 12. Jesus is speaking. He's actually quoting. I don't think I have Psalm 22. But Psalm 22:22, I think, is the verse where he's quoting from Hebrews. In Hebrews 2 and verse 12, he's quoting from Psalm 22. And Jesus says, in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. Is that pretty cool? You let that sink in. And now you sit and you sing songs and you're thinking about the words and then think about Jesus sitting next to you. Maybe we sing, low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Imagine Jesus singing that, and Jesus is like, yep, I know where this is going. I know the rest of this song. I was there. Up from the grave he arose. Can you imagine Jesus singing that? You get excited about that part of the song. Can you imagine Jesus singing that with you? Think he got excited about that part of the song? But what's he singing in the assembly? Singing praises. He's singing admiration and adoration for God. That's a part of what's going on in the assembly. I don't know if you're as familiar with Hebrews chapter 13, the end of that book, and verse 15, where it describes, and again, it has the word praise to God in it, but it describes it as we need to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's an interesting term there. You ever thought about your praise being a sacrifice? What book is this in? The book of Hebrews. Well, why is that stuck in the book of Hebrews and not over in Ephesians? Well, because the book of Hebrews is written to a bunch of Jews. Did they understand sacrifice? Yeah. Much better than we do. And he gets to the end of the book of Hebrews where he says, don't go back to those sacrifices of the Old Testament. They can never take away sin, Hebrews chapter 10 says. He says, come to this new covenant. And what's the sacrifice you offer to God? Fruit of your lips. Your praise to God. That's the sacrifice. And so when we come together, again, we're talking about the power of the tongue here. And the power of the tongue here is that I am offering my sacrifice. I'm offering my praise to God. So here's some verses. And again, just throw them up here just for sake of time. But here's the Jew songbook. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will be glad and rejoice in you. Can you say this? Not just sing it. Is this your heart when you praise? I will praise you with my whole heart. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will give thanks to you and sing praises to your name. I love Psalm 22. What does this mean? To you, what does this mean? But you are holy. Not that part, the rest of it. God, you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. What is that? Get the picture. What is a throne? So here's a throne, and somebody is sitting on it. They are enthroned on the throne, and he is enthroned in what? In the praises of his people. Now, it's not, obviously, he's enthroned on his throne in heaven, and there's a lot about that. But in our praises, who are we praising? We're praising God with the fruit of our lips, with the power of our tongue, we're praising God. And when we're all praising God, he's enthroned in our praises. That imagery is just fascinating to me. Enthroned in our praises. Say it again.
He's inhabited.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is that powerful? I mean, when we talk about the power of the tongue, and when we come together in our worship assemblies and we praise God, is there power in that? Wow. I mean, we need to lift up our voices, but where does that come from? Making melody in the
heart.
It's got to be coming from the heart before it comes from the voices. Now, let me ask this question. Is this the only time and the only place that we use our tongue to praise God?
No.
Only time? Only place? Hope not.
In the shower.
Are there other times, other places that we ought to be praising God? Y'all are mentioning a lot of places. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him do what? Let him pray. But is anyone among you cheerful? Let him wait till Sunday morning. You just got to wait till Sunday. Just keep your cheer going until Sunday, and then you can sing. You bust it out anytime you want. This isn't limited to Sunday. Psalm 35, verse 28. My tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise. How often? Just on Sundays? All the day long. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless, your translation may say praise there. I will praise the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just limited to, now, Sundays is a designated time that God wants us as a group of His people to praise Him, but God wants us to praise Him all the time. And He wants that praise filled with thanksgiving. I want you to see, and all of these three last verses, they're all from the book of Psalms. And I know you know this, but the book of Psalms, again, the Jews' song book, the book of Psalms is written in Jewish poetry. And in Jewish poetry, they used a lot of parallelism in Jewish poetry. Meaning, if you read a verse in the book of Psalms and you read a verse in the book of Proverbs, a lot of times within that one verse, you've got a parallel that means the first part of the verse and the last part of the verse, they're saying the same thing. They're just using different words. You ever do that? Talking to somebody? They didn't quite get what you were saying, so you kind of twist the words around. You know, you check your thesaurus, throw in something else. Oh, okay, now I know what you... I just said that. I'm saying the same thing. Parallelism. Same thing in the same verse. Now, sometimes what you'll find in their poetry is that they contrasted it to make the point. So the second line in the verse may be the complete opposite. Have you ever done that with somebody? Trying to explain something, they didn't... Well, and so you tell them what it's not. Oh, okay, it's not that, so it's this. So that, anyway, I'm telling you that because you're going to find praise and thanks. The reason I'm telling you all that, you're going to find praise and thanks being used in parallel. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with song. Well, what's involved with that? I'm going to magnify Him with thanksgiving. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Well, how do I, and sing praises to your name. See the parallel? Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Same thing. But again, how often should our praise, and this isn't limited to just Sundays, how often should our praise involve thanksgiving? Giving thanks to our God. Do you have any reasons? Do you have any reasons to give thanks to Him? Anything come to mind? A couple? Cares for you? Everything. I mean, that's pretty broad, but I mean, that's what, you know, the verse we had up there a little while ago in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. In everything, give thanks. You got it over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. as well. Here's some verses only from the book of Psalms, all right? And it's not even all of them. But do we have any reasons to praise God every day? Psalm 9 and verse 1. I'll praise you, O Lord, my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Any marvelous works of God that we need to tell him thank you for? Psalm 9 and verse 14. I will rejoice in your salvation. We need to tell God thank you for saving me. Psalm 21 and verse 13. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength. How far did I get down in this? Psalm 92. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Do you need to tell him thank you for being that to him? To us, Psalm 42 and verse 5, hope in God, yet for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, or your Bible might say the help of his presence, just being there to help me. Thank you, Lord, for being there to help me. Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life. Do you think that? Is God's loving kindness better than life? My lips are going to praise him for that. Psalm 92, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, sing praises to your name, O Most High God. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and then your faithfulness every night. Do we need to thank God for his faithfulness? Psalm 99, verse 3, he's holy. Psalm 100, down in verse 5, it talks about the Lord is good, he's merciful, his truth endures forever. And Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I'm alive and I have my being, I'm going to praise my God. So, instead of starting on the power of the tongue, the death being in the power of the tongue, how about good stuff being in the power of our tongue? How about at the top of that list being, I get to praise God. Now, does that always have to be, we've sort of limited it, or at least focused in on this anyway, does it always have to be in singing? Can you praise God without singing? Did you ever praise your children without singing to them? Did you ever tell them they did a good job, that you loved them, but you didn't sing a chorus to them in the process of doing that? Trudy? Yeah. Right. So, absolutely. So, when we pray, you may not sing your prayers very often, but when you pray, should a part of that prayer be praise and thanksgiving? Yeah, absolutely. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, that talks about our anxiety. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Sometimes we forget those two middle words and we just say, I'm going to let my request. But it's interesting. Yes, let your request be made known to God. But how do you do that? With thanksgiving. Do you ever thank God for your requests? Thank God we have family prayer. Thank God all of these requests come in. Thank you, God, for letting me make these requests to you. Thank you, God, for hearing my request. Thank you for answering my request better than I ever could. Now, is our praise limited to singing? Is our praise limited to when we bow our heads and close our eyes and pray? Can you be driving down the road and just thank God for stuff? You should. Absolutely. Driving down the road, thank God for your family. Trudy?
You can praise God by being nice and being encouraging to your brother.
Yeah, you can. We ought to have a heart. You know, when the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. That's hard to do. But can I tell him, thank you for helping? Can I find something to give thanks for? Thank you, Lord, for helping me through this. Whatever it may be. But what does that do? It gives you a regular consciousness of the presence of God in your daily life. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, what does that mean? You're supposed to keep your eyes closed all the time? I'm walking, you know, 1 John talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light. When I'm walking with the Lord, Enoch walked with God. When I walk with God every day, if he's just walk, can I not just talk to him while I'm walking with him? You ever go on a walk with your husband or your wife? You go on a walk with a friend? You go bike riding with people? Did you talk to him while you were with them? Probably. You're on a daily walk with God. You ever just talk to Him? I'm not talking about being flippant. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a designated prayer time and prayer closet. I'm just talking about, should there be times in our day where we just say, thank you, God, for this, or God, please help me with this, and know that He's going to hear. So, positive, good, life-changing thing we can do with our tongue is to praise God. Number two, we need to use our tongue to tell people about Jesus. Is that the plan that God has? I mean, to get the message out about Jesus, what was God's plan in all of this? Do we use our tongue to talk about any other good things? We use our tongue to share other good news. Use your tongue to talk about your kids or your grandkids, what's going on with them. Use your tongue to talk to somebody about a good restaurant you went to, or what they ought to order when they go to this place because it was really good, or where do you get the best desserts, or did you use your tongue at all to talk about the Gators winning the national championship? You know, and I mean, we talk about good news stuff all the time. You know, we got the report tonight about Chuck's dad having good test results. Do we use our tongue to talk about good test results? I mean, we use our tongue to talk about all sorts of good stuff. Do we use our tongue to tell people about Jesus? Now, because of time, I'll have to get through this maybe quicker than I want to. Help me with the plan of salvation, okay? You're going to think I'm way off base here. Help me with the plan of salvation, all right? I need to believe, I need to repent, I need to be baptized, and I need to live faithfully, right?
What about the hearing part?
I need to hear, I need to believe, I need to repent, I need to be baptized, and I need to live faithfully, right?
No, you need to
confess. I skipped a finger, right? So in the process of becoming a Christian, God wants me to confess my faith in Jesus. Whew. At least I only have to do it once, right? Do it once, get it out of the way, and I'm done. No. My confessing my faith in Jesus is a lifelong event. And so when Jesus in Matthew 10 and verse 32 says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven, he who confessed me before men, it's actually a future tense verb. It's not a one-time thing. It's he who will confess me before men. He's looking at a time where individuals will not just one time make that confession. Do we need to regularly let people know that we believe in Jesus?
Yes.
That He has made a difference in our lives? Do we need to positively talk about the difference that? And again, this is, I'm just going to put all of this up here because we got the 5-minute bell, and I'm not even to my third point tonight. Using our tongue to tell people about Jesus. One, I need to confess my faith. I don't just do that when I'm standing up before I get baptized. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when I'm around my friends, when I'm around my coworkers, do they need to know that I believe in Jesus? This is even before I'm teaching them. That's the second point here, is telling others the good news. But the first part is, I don't need to be ashamed to tell people what I believe. I don't need to be ashamed to tell people, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yep, I believe in the Bible that it's from God. Yep, I believe in that what the Bible says about the church and what it says about baptism. Yep, that's what it's. I need to be willing to confess the faith that's in my heart. Now, is that question? Is that fulfilling the Great Commission? Telling people what I believe, is that fulfilling the Great Commission? No, it's not about what I believe. That's not. But I need to be willing to tell people that. And that's a part of using my tongue for good. Now, but then I need to get over and say, but it's not about what I believe. Not about what I hold dear in my heart. It's about what does the Bible say. So then I use my tongue to share the good news of Jesus. And when people ask me a question, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, when people ask me a question, what do I need to be able to do? How do I give them a defense? What, what organ of my body am I going to use in order to give them a defense? My fingers, because I'm going to do the typing, and my thumbs. I need to use my tongue. I mean, what organ of the body did God expect them to use, 1 Peter 3, that you give a defense, you give an answer for every question that somebody asks? That means I've got to be studying, I need to know the Bible, but I need to be willing to open my mouth, and a positive use of my tongue is saying, here's what the Bible says. Why do I have this hope? Why do I have this faith? Because this is what the Bible says. All right, we've got 2.5 minutes. Maybe I should skip this and save it for next week, but I'm going to go ahead and put it in. What can we do positive with our tongue? Praise God, tell people about Jesus, and strengthen each other. We do that with words of encouragement, words that build each other up. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's one of the most challenging verses in all of the Bible. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do our words impart grace to the people who hear them? Am I using them to encourage? Do I use words to comfort people? To come alongside them, not only with my arm, not only with my hugs, but with a nice, I love you and I'm praying for you, words of comfort. Do I use my words not just to give thanks to God, do I use my words to give thanks to people? And again, this can be done in a card, and I please continue to do it with handwritten cards. It can be done in a text, it can be done in an email, all day long. But it can be done with your mouth too. Giving thanks to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do I need to use my tongue to make confession when I've done wrong? I'm not just talking about in the church. I'm talking about in our relationships. I'm sorry that I said that. I shouldn't have said it that way. I'm sorry that I said it that way. My tone was not right. My attitude was not right. I'm sorry. And I need to be able to say I'm sorry. And that person needs to be able to use their tongue to say, it's okay, I forgive you. And to use our tongues for positive things. I need, and there's the forgiveness part. And then I need to use my tongue to warn. If somebody was in a bad place, would you say something about it? If somebody was headed for danger, would you just be like, maybe they'll figure it out. Or would you open your mouth? So most of you won't know what Bell's Drive-In is up in Henderson, Tennessee, but it burned down. This is a famous place to get burgers up in Henderson, Tennessee, and it burned down on Monday night. That place caught on fire. You suppose anybody, if there was anybody around that, you know, they may have said, oh, you know, I guess we'll just let them fix, or you think they would be screaming at somebody, tell them to get away. We use our tongues to warn people. Let them know there's a danger there. Within our arsenal, we've got this, well, it could be a weapon of mass destruction, but it's really a concealed weapon. And God said it's a weapon that's like a sword sometimes, but it's also something that can promote health. Are there people in this room who need their health promoted? Encouraged. I'm not talking about physical health, but sometimes when your spiritual and your emotional health get helped, it sometimes helps your physical health too. What are we using our tongue for? The Bible says life is in the power of the tongue. We've only looked at 3 things tonight. You could probably add to that, but I'm already 1 minute and 18 seconds over. So thank you all very much for being here tonight.